Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. Tim, Fred, and Steve Paisley Jordahl now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
And Ray's in Kansas City, Ray Pritchard.
Hey, Ray.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you.
Good.
Hey, before we get to, by the way, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas is scheduled to be on right now. And we haven't heard, we don't know. We can't get in touch with him right now. Which I told you, people. I told you an hour ago. Right, didn't I tell him?
You did. You said it's hard to get a senator. But they're busy. They're busy people, right?
They're busy people, but he's got a book he wants to sell. So I think he'll be here in a minute. I really do. That's where these senators are. They got books they want to sell. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with selling books. Hey, I'm kidding around here. Senator Ted Cruz, I have great admiration for him. He is, I voted for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I voted for him back in 16 in the primary. And he's been a stalwart conservative for a long time. And I think he's in a re-election year. I know he is, right? So we will hopefully talk to him.
Hence the book.
Yeah. Hey, Ray, I want to ask you back to the Ukraine for just a minute. We were talking about the Ukrainian-Russian war that's ongoing almost 2 years now in February. And as you say, kind of a lot of – listen, thousands and thousands of people have died, and we're at a stalemate seemingly. When everybody thought Russia would win handily within a few weeks, and that didn't happen. By the way, I think – I'm no military expert, but I think the use of drones has changed warfare.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and neutralized a lot of advantages that big, like Russia had a lot of big tanks, more tanks, bigger tanks. But if you can be knocked out by a drone,
well, I've always wondered if we get to the point where our drones are going to take out their drones, and the whoever's drones and unmanned UAVs win. Better the other wins the war. Do we just like give up then, or how do you win a war if nobody's fighting it? Well,
could there be a battle of the drones where your drones and our drone, their drones?
That's a Hollywood movie, I think. Actually,
well, yeah. You know, we've all seen these videos, these tanks that Russia has, which cost I don't know hundreds of thousands of dollars probably to make one of these sophisticated tanks, and yet, here comes this little drone. I said little. Yeah, that probably costs tens of thousands, and it takes out a tank. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? I'm just we've all seen that. I think that what I'm saying is I think that served the drone usage has served to neutralize to a large extent Russia's overwhelming military numbers and power. I want to ask you. Ray, do we have Senator Cruz? Is that 5 minutes from now? All right. Don't anybody say anything to him about me saying he's only wanting to sell books, okay?
No.
That's just between us.
Although.
Because he might not want to come on.
For a dollar.
Well, I think he would want to come on because he does want to sell books. But I mean, don't bring that up.
Hey, it's okay to sell books, speaking as an author.
You're all in favor of it, aren't you?
100% in favor of selling books.
It's America.
It's America.
It's America. Right. Yeah, no, I'm just teasing. But I want to ask you, Ray, while we're waiting on Senator Cruz, when did you go to Ukraine?
In 2016 and then again in 2017.
Okay, why did you go there?
Doing some Bible teaching at a Bible Institute right outside Kyiv, and found the Ukrainian Christians some of the strongest believers I've ever met in our travels around the world. Full of faith, full of joy, full of hope in God. So I think of all the places we've gone around the world, if you ask my wife, Marlene would say she'd rather go back to Ukraine than any place we've ever been.
Hmm. Now, are they mostly an agnostic or an atheistic population, or is Ukraine more like, do they have a lot of Russian Orthodox influence or Eastern Orthodox or what are Catholics or whatever?
They are largely a religious people. So that when you go into Ukraine, there's Orthodox influence, there's Catholic influence, there's a growing evangelical movement in the country. So I find them to be very open to the gospel. And I think that this war of the last 2 years, I'm not going to say revival, that would be overstating it, but I think it has turned a great many of the Ukrainian people back to the Lord, seeking God. That's a wonderful thing to have happen.
Was there any discussion that you had with the Ukrainian people, because that's just 5 years ago, 6 years ago, was there any discussion at that time about geopolitical matters in terms of how they felt about the Russians? Or
every single day.
Really?
Yes, every single day. Because the Russians have been in the eastern part of Ukraine for a number of years. They were there then. In the eastern part of Ukraine, which is, by the way, that's where, if you look at those maps, that's where a lot of the battle is taking place, is on the eastern side of the country. And some of the students at the Bible Institute came from that Russian-occupied region. And I think we were about 10 hours away from it. So they lived under the shadow of it every single day.
So when Putin officially invaded Ukraine, I mean, beyond just the skirmishes or the warfare going on the eastern border, deeper into the country, I guess that may have surprised, maybe it didn't, the Ukrainians.
I think that Putin signaled he was going to do it.
Right.
So
it wasn't a shock.
It wasn't a total shock. Right, he signaled over and over again, we're coming, we're coming, we're coming, and finally the day came.
Maybe a lot of people thought, surely he won't do that, huh?
Right. Well, I think many people here in the West, here in the U.S., said he will not do that.
Right.
Because we couldn't see ourselves doing that, but Putin plays by his own set of rules, right?
Yeah, I wonder if Vladimir Putin, too, has, I don't know if he's talked about that. Do we have a guest on that? No. If he's talked about whether or not he wants to try to establish before his death the old Soviet Union.
Oh, I think that's his aim. He wants to. I think many Russians like Vladimir Putin are embarrassed that they, you know, going back to the Ronald Reagan days when they lost a lot of that. That part of their country.
Well, the Soviet Union fell apart.
It did.
It fell apart, and some of it was willingly, because you remember, they had a couple of leaders. What was the fellow who worked with Reagan who had the birthmark on the top of his head?
Gorbachev.
Gorbachev was basically a guy who, as I understand it, he wanted more freedom for...
Yes.
He helped, of course, I think, but the bottom line was Russia ran out of money.
Russia wasn't going to be able to do it without some kind of capitalism.
To hold on to the Soviet Union.
The big plan for Putin, I think, is the restoration of the Russian Empire in the Baltics and everything. But the proximate cause, the reason they invaded Ukraine, is I don't think he wanted that to be a NATO nation and have NATO bombs and nuclear weapons parked that close to Moscow.
But Ukraine wasn't.
No, and but they're certainly not going to be if they are part of Russia. He was taking that decision off the table, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so Ukraine was a buffer state between Russia and, what, Poland? Is it Poland or?
Poland's on one side there, sure. Yeah.
Which is a NATO, NATO
Hungary.
Country. Huh? Hungary. Right. All right, you're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network, Tim, Fred, Steve, and Ray, and we thank you for listening. Senator Ted Cruz from Texas is on with us now. He's got a new book out called Unwoke, How to Defeat Marxism in America. And good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
This is Tim, by the way. Are you in Texas or D.C.?
No, Tim, I'm in D.C. I'm actually right outside the Capitol. I will hopefully be flying home to Texas tonight, but it's a little bit unclear if I'll make it home tonight or not.
How long do you have?
I've got probably 10, 15 minutes.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. You're on American Family Radio. Of course, we got stations all over Texas. Talk about your book, Unwoke, How to Defeat Culture Marxism in America.
Well, sure. It's a brand new book that just came out. And it focuses on how the radical left has taken over virtually every major institution in America. Each chapter focuses on a different institution. So it starts, chapter one, is the universities. And I call the universities the Wuhan lab of the woke virus.
Yeah, they
are where this virus was created.
That's good.
They're where it mutated, and they're where it spread. From the universities, it goes to K-12 education. Then it goes to journalism, then it goes to government, then it goes to big business, then it goes to big tech, then it goes to science, then it goes to entertainment, to Hollywood, to movies, television, music, sports. And finally, the last chapter of the book is on China, which I describe as a central nexus that is intertwined with all of them. And what the book does is really two things. Number one, it explains how and why the radical left sees these institutions from the inside. But number two, even more importantly, it lays out a positive, proactive battle plan for how we take them back. Because I think if we don't take these institutions back, we're going to lose our nation.
No, I agree completely. Absolutely. You're right on that, Tim. Expression culture war.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, because it's a cultural war going out there. It's not just political. It is political, yes, but it's also in all the other spheres of life that you just mentioned. What do you make of this situation with these Ivy League presidents? Those schools are losing billions of dollars from donors and supporters, alumni, and these people. I'm talking about over the Israel Hamas situation. What do you make of all that?
Well, it's absolutely disgraceful. I'll say the testimony of the presidents of Harvard and Penn and MIT, I thought, was shameful. And we've already seen the president of Penn lose her job over it. I think the presidents of Harvard and MIT should be fired as well. Although both Harvard and MIT are digging in, they're not wanting to get rid of them. You know, I'm a graduate of Harvard Law School, and it is embarrassing and wrong where my alma mater is. And I got to tell you, Tim, it's a manifestation of cultural Marxism. My new book explains exactly why this is happening, which is to the cultural Marxist, they break the world down into victims and oppressors, and everything is put through the lens of oppression. And for today's radical left, they have defined, they have coded Jews as oppressors. And they have defined, they have coded Palestinians as victims. And once they do that, the cultural Marxist supports the violent revolution of the so-called victims against the so-called oppressors. And it's why you're seeing so many on the left celebrating these Hamas atrocities. It's why you saw 35 student groups at Harvard put out a disgraceful statement saying that every murder, every woman and little girl that was raped on October 7th, and every infant that was slaughtered is 100% the fault of Israel, because that's who the left is. And that's why these college presidents, they couldn't bring themselves to even admit that calling for the genocide of the Jewish people was unacceptable, because from their perspective, the Jews are the oppressors and any and all violence against them is justified by the cultural Marxist.
Folks, go buy a copy of either go to the bookstore or buy it online, but buy Senator Cruz's new book. It's called Unwoke, How to Defeat Cultural Marxism in America. It's excellent. And Fred, you had a question for the senator.
Yeah, Senator Fred here. The movement towards cultural Marxism within our education system has been going on for decades.
Yes.
In your book, You tell us that you have a solution. How do we begin to take it back?
Well, Fred, it's a great question, and I suggest three different tools to use to take the institutions back. The first is sunlight and transparency. Simply shining a light on what they're doing is powerful, because the ideas of the radical left are wildly unpopular. Normal, rational people don't support abolishing the police. Normal, rational people don't support open borders and the chaos at our southern border. Normal, rational people don't have difficulty figuring out what a woman is. And normal, rational people don't celebrate the atrocities of Hamas terrorists. The views of the radical left, the American people don't agree with. And so, for example, you asked about schools. In the book, in the chapter on K-12 education, I focus on what happened in Loudoun County, Virginia. In Loudoun County, Virginia, as you know, a teenage girl was sexually assaulted by a boy wearing a skirt in the girl's bathroom. And what happened, tragically, is the school district covered it up. They denied it happened because their political ideology in favor of transgenderism mattered more to them than protecting the students in their care. And so they lied about it. They took the sexual predator. They transferred him to another school where he promptly sexually assaulted another little girl. And when the father came to the school board to denounce the assault, they had the father of the victim arrested. It was disgraceful, but it was also powerful because it captured the attention of millions of parents in Virginia and across the country. And what happened in Virginia, you look, in 2020, Virginia was a bright blue state. Virginia voted for Joe Biden by a 10-point margin in 2020. 1 year later, in 2021, Virginia elected a Republican governor, Glenn Youngkin. And the reason they did so, more than anything else, is moms got ticked off. They got ticked off at what was happening to their kids. And that's the power of sunshine and transparency. Mm-hmm. The other two tools I suggest are, number two, changing the cost-benefit analysis to increase the costs for going woke, increase the disincentive for going down that road. And the third that I suggest is conservatives and libertarians with resources, those who've been successful in business, should invest in the means of transmission of ideas. Go buy a TV station, buy a radio station, buy a book publishing house, buy a movie studio, buy a record label. And the example I use for this is Elon Musk's buying Twitter, which I think was the single most important step for free speech in decades. We need to fight in the arena of ideas.
Yeah. Steve, you got one last question for the Senator?
Yeah, Senator, thank you. I'm looking forward to reading your book. My observation is the left and the woke crowd always outkick their coverage. They just go a step too far. And as you know, it's a small group of leaders that are putting this on the rest of the country. The tail is wagging the dog. How do we get there? And is there any way to leverage the majority of Americans who think this is nuts?
Yeah, see Bud Light.
Right.
That's actually a great example. In my chapter on big business, I talk at length about Bud Light and about Target and about Disney.
Yep.
And you know, the challenge a few years ago, let's assume you're a CEO of a big company, and let's assume you're apolitical. You're not left or right. You don't care. Even a few years ago, the rational thing for you to do was to give in to the woke mob because the incentives were all wrong. If you give in to them, there were relatively little costs, and the benefits were they didn't come for you with their pitchforks and torches. They didn't come after you. Your angry 22-year-olds working at the company didn't yell at you. Twitter didn't light you up. Reporters didn't attack you. Activist shareholders didn't attack you. And so it made perfect sense. Just surrender and get it behind you. I think what happened with Bud Light and Target and Disney changed the calculus. Those three companies together lost tens of billions of dollars. And what's fascinating, you look at Target. Target happened after Bud Light. And you look at the discussions of their top executives. What they were saying as it was unfolding was, we don't want to be another Bud Light. We don't want to be another Bud Light. That's really good. We need to expand the negative consequences so that the next CEO says, you know, maybe I'll just stay out of politics. Maybe I'll focus on selling widgets rather than diving into the culture wars. And that's one of the really powerful things. And I'll give you another concrete example of how you can increase the costs. The state of Texas passed legislation. It's called Senate Bill 13. And it says if you boycott oil and gas, then Texas is going to boycott you. Oil and gas produces millions of high-paying jobs in the state of Texas, and the state legislature said quite rightly, and I urge them to do this, that the hundreds of billions of dollars in Texas pension funds and endowments of our universities, that we will not invest in any fund, any company that boycotts oil and gas. And they likewise passed another bill that said Texas will not invest if you attack the Second Amendment, that if you're going to undermine the Second Amendment rights of Texans, we're not going to invest in you. Those two together, I got to tell you, have Wall Street freaked out. And it's using leverage to impose costs for going woke. And I encourage other red states to do the same. Use that power. And it's because, as you just noted, the American people don't agree with this garbage. The way the left imposes it is through force and coercion. So we need to change the cost-benefit analysis.
One last question, Senator. This is Tim. Before we let you go, and we didn't invite you on to talk about this, but what's your view of the Ukraine situation with Russia and America's support or not?
Well, look, I think what's happening in Ukraine is horrific. I think that it is frustrating because the war is unnecessary. It was caused by Joe Biden's weakness as commander-in-chief. And I also am deeply frustrated that the Biden administration is funding both sides of the war. They keep sending billions of dollars to Ukraine, and at the same time, they send billions of dollars to Iran. Iran is using that money to make drones. They're the leading weapons supplier to Russia, and those Iranian drones are being used to attack Ukrainian soldiers and civilians. So the Biden administration is sending billions to both sides of the war. It's frustrating. I want Russia to lose. I want Putin to lose because Putin is our enemy. But I'll tell you right now, in the Senate, the Democrats are all in on a Ukraine aid package, and Republicans, I think, are rightly holding the line, saying that, listen, we're not going to invest in securing Ukraine's border until you secure our border here at home.
Yeah.
We have a crisis here in America. And right now, at least, the Democrats are dug in and refusing to secure the border. So we're at an impasse in the Senate as we sit here today.
Gotcha. Senator, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate your leadership in the United States Senate for conservative principles and causes, and take care.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And let me say to all your listeners, God bless you. I want to encourage you, go buy the book, go online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. And I have to mention, Christmas is right around the corner. The book makes a terrific Christmas gift. And so buy a copy for your mom. Buy a copy for your best friend. Buy a copy for your crazy left-wing neighbor to try to knock some sense into him. Or even better, buy a copy for your kids or your grandkids so they can understand the garbage that people are trying to indoctrinate them with. The book is a fun read. It's an interesting read. And it'll give you information that you and your loved ones, y'all need to know.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Senator Ted Cruz.
He wants to sell some books. I'm shocked.
I told you, man. Hey.
Makes a great Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Give it to your leftist friends. He doesn't care if they use it for a doorstop. They still have to buy it, right?
That's right.
The book is very substantive. It is. And it's important. It's an important topic. The book is Senator Ted Cruz. The new book is called Unwoke, How to Defeat Cultural Marxism in America. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
Appreciate Steve and Fred and Chris Woodward. And we thank you for listening to is anybody else? Jonathan. We want to thank Jonathan for running the controls for us here. And we thank you for listening. All right. Have a great afternoon. This is Thursday. That means tomorrow is Learning University. So we'll see you back here for that.